If you were here last Sunday, we started a brand new series on the Lord's Prayer. And each week, we're taking just a little snippet of the most famous prayer ever prayed that has influenced millions of people for countless generations. It started with just a little handful of followers of this wandering rabbi that taught them how to pray in such a special way. And so this week we're just going to continue pressing on into each aspect of this prayer. And we're going to look at it slowly. And I love this quote from this old pastor from the 1800s. "The Lord's Prayer may be committed to memory quickly, but it is slowly learnt by heart." And so that's why we're just going to put, you know, and I don't know if you grew up with the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, maybe, you know, I went to a Catholic high school, and we used to say the Our Father before every game, you know, like on the soccer team, we'd huddle up and we'd, you know, and I remember just going through it, wrote, never really even thinking about what the words meant. And I remember years later had the chance to coach at the high school I went to. And we had a rainy day like this, and sort of reminding me of that. And so it was one of those chalkboard, you know, we couldn't go outside even kick the ball around on the blacktop. And so I had all the kids come inside a classroom. And I said, because we, the same tradition carried on. I'm all, "Hey, when I was your age, we used to say that Our Father, you guys ever think about what that means?" And we put it up on the board, and these kids that had grown up, you know, had this prayer memorized, had never even had a chance to talk about it. No, I mean, every little part of the prayer, every sentence was kind of a mystery. You know, so, no, I don't know what that means. I know how to say it. And that God's name is Harold, because Harold is your name. And so, but there's so much. And we're going to use a different translation each Sunday, by the way, because I think part of the fun here is not to get locked into one translation, because many of us probably grew up with the King James version. So last week we looked at the NIV. This is the New Living Translation, which is growing on me. It's one of my new favorite. But what's amazing about the Lord's Prayer is it addresses so much about life, from our identity. And last Sunday we talked about how just in that simple little phrase, "Our Father," Jesus taught us something new that no one had ever really talked about. It's there kind of in the background in the Old Testament that God is the Father of Israel. And it's maybe this person's father or that person's father, but you had to be, you know, pretty important, you know, an Abraham, maybe, or a David or Solomon. But when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," he said, "Well, yeah, when you pray, say, first thing is Our Father." And what that does all of a sudden is he's saying, "My Father is your Father. My Heavenly Father is the same Father for you." And by saying "our," we're all connected in this awesome eternal family as God's family. And so there's so much going on just in that one little phrase that we unpacked last week, speaking to who we are, our identity, our purpose, in calling down God's kingdom from heaven to spread into earth. The security that we pray for God to provide for our needs. Being part of a community where it's very difficult to be in any sort of a group of people in this world without learning and needing to learn forgiveness. How to be forgiven, and how to ask forgiveness. And so how we live with each other in community. And then as this last song really alluded to, and Lord, I need you, calling on God to free us from all the traps and shackles that this life can often catch us in, that bring us down, that bring destruction into our lives and our relationships. And so let's key in today, though, on the second little part of the this prayer. May your kingdom come soon. I like the way the NLT says that. And if the Lord's Prayer is something new to you, I hope this is a chance where you can really grow into it, really appreciate this amazing prayer that has been the standard of how to pray for so many years, but that many of us have maybe that have grown up with have taken for granted. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is that all about? God, can you just finish up this earth and just bring the castles and the palaces and your power and all the turrets and all the ways that maybe as a kid we imagine, heaven to be like? Can you just bring all that? Can you bring that magical kingdom, that kind of Disney-ish looking place in the sky just down here so we don't got to worry about all these problems and it can just be over? And that might be one way that we kind of rush through what that prayer might mean, but it's talking about something very different and something quite a bit messier than that. In fact, when we pray those words for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, this word kingdom pops out. That's a really funny word that doesn't translate well into our language from the language that Jesus was using with His disciples. It is a word that we kind of associate with a lot of medieval fortresses and palaces and things like that, that when we think of kingdoms and these places of beauty, of power. But again, this very static place. And that word basilia in Greek, it can mean that. It can mean a place, but most often in the way Jesus uses it, especially when he's talking about God's kingdom in so many of his parables, he's talking about something that's much more dynamic. That's not just a place, but really a ruling activity, action. That is the action of a monarch, not just the residence of a monarch. In other words, it can be a place, but it can also be an activity. It's a way of life. It's a style. It's how things are. And as I was struggling a little bit earlier in the week, because we've tried to unpack kingdom before here and really, get to the heart of what that means in previous messages. But every time it comes around, I feel like, well, I don't know if we've really gotten to the essence of what it means. And I'm trying to think, well, what's a word, what's a concept that brings that out better in our language and the way we understand things, style, action, way of doing things. But then, like many times when I'll have an epiphany, and probably you, it's probably while you're watching SportsCenter. And seriously, nothing. And so, okay, all right. And so, it's been a crazy week in the world of sports. Especially, this regular season comes to an end, and many heads begin to roll. Of coaches and. Especially in our area, it's been quite dramatic the last week or so. So, but it was a time for a change in Buffalo. Good old Rex Ryan. He lost his job, and so along with his brother, who's his defensive coordinator, and so the Ryan boys got the axe, and so kind of a bummer out there for those guys. And you guys know here with the 49ers, after just 1 year, Chip Kelly, lost his job because the Niners have just gone nowhere with him. And then but this is the really interesting one. Does anybody even know who that is? Am I the only English Premier Soccer fan in the house? And so, because this was the big news, because it's still the middle of the season for English soccer, and Bob Bradley, the only American-born person to ever have a head coaching job in the English league, in the top of the English league, the Premier League, after only 85 days. Just 3 months, less than 3 months, loses his job in the Swansea City team. You guys got to get into English soccer with me. It's like the best soccer. But there, we think our American sports drama is intense and insane with hirings and firings. I mean, they take stuff so crazy, intense, seriously out there. But here are the words that I kept hearing all week long is, we need a change in culture. And, you know, poor Jed, the owner of the Niners, I know, what a sad look on his face. But Jed, and I think it was about 8 times into his into saying culture and need for a change of culture in his press conference, and somebody, one of the writers, counted up, he said it 16 times. It dawned on me, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about culture. He's talking about praying heaven's culture into earth's culture. Not to get rid of earth, not to displace it with these palaces and God's, you know, wrath and power and order to, you know, to just take over things, you know, in this kind of overwhelming way. But to pray that there would be a change of perspective, a change of thinking, a change of acting. All those things that define what a culture is about. And as teams get frustrated with not having a winning competitive culture, which starts at the top with the way the coach sets the tone and holds players and other coaches accountable and leads and serves and all the things that are a huge challenge for any group or any team, whether it's in sports or anywhere else. Having the right culture affects everything. So think about the culture clash that we live in, you know, here in our world, especially those of us that are trying to let God's influence change us personally and in our own little world. But, you know, a quick comparison, when you look through attributes of in the Bible that describe our world versus the world that God dreams for us to have. You know, here on earth, self-interest leads most people's lives. Whereas in heaven, as it is in heaven, it's more about self-sacrifice. On earth, it's very competitive. We're always trying to get what we want first, and competition reigns. Whereas in heaven, it's more about cooperation, making sure others have what they need. Here, things are ruled by power. There, they're led in peace. Order happens through law, whereas obedience just results from joy. Differences here scare us and create fear, whereas God's variety and His creativity and all those differences are celebrated. And so, those are just a few of the things that when we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what Jesus is trying to get across, that we need a different culture. We need heaven's way of life. We need heaven's culture to infect and change and spread into earth. Well, how do you go about doing that? I mean, changing culture is no easy ask Bob Bradley at Swansea City. I mean, it is no easy task to change people's habits and outlooks and priorities. How do we go about doing that? There's one particular passage in the New Testament that speaks very loudly to the challenge of experiencing change in our world, and Paul speaks towards us in Romans 12 when he declares, "Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world."
but let God transform you into a new person. And here's where it starts, by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But it starts with a change in our approach to just about everything. I want to share just a couple little stories that have helped me be motivated to not trust the way I think about things, like the way I've always thought about things, but to maybe go, well, maybe I need a change. Maybe there's a different way of looking at things, that if I let God, into my life some more, if I press in a little harder, that there may be a different way of looking at things. And so one's sort of just a fun made-up one. The other one is a very striking real-life story that took place very recently here in our own, right around here in this neck of the woods. Maybe you've heard this one before, but I love it. And there's different incarnations of this story that are floating around. One day, a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking something up and gently throwing it into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "What are you doing?" The youth replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." "Son," the man said, "don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish? You can't make a difference." After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it back into the surf. And then, smiling at the man, he said, "I think I made a difference for that one." It is this man scanned this miles of beach. He saw there's no way. What is even the use of trying? You can't put a dent in it. But this boy saw it very differently. He's all, even if I can spend as much time as I possibly can here and make life a priority for God's creatures of God, fling them back into the surf. And, this is an excerpt from a short story. It does affect the old man to go on and see things very differently in his own life after his eyes are open to not just trusting what maybe, is the way we would normally just look at things. Like, well, it's not worth it. When, in fact, when we jump in and do our little part, it does. And this changed this man, and it began, which is the beginning of changing culture, seeing things in a different way. Well, I came across this little story recently, and maybe you've heard of an organization called White Pony Express. Anybody ever heard of these guys? And they're local right here, and they started in the Walnut Creek area and serve Contra Costa County. This gal, this started just recently, just in 2013. Dr. Carol Wayland Connor looked around and was noticing this combination of many people just in Contra Costa County going without food and dealing with hunger. But she also noticed that many restaurants and food service organizations were throwing away a lot of food. And that's just a given in the food service industry. And it's honestly no big deal. Everybody does it. You can't keep all the food that you make. And there's just you factor that in. And it's expected. It's the norm. It's just common business as usual. Is there's always going to be a waste factor, and there's nothing you can do. You got to factor that cost into your cost of business and that food. But we're talking, when you add up all the restaurants, all the places that cater. I mean, this is a tons and tons of fresh food that is going to waste.
Well, she decided to try to see things a little bit differently
and began White Pony Express, where their slogan is relaying food and goods to those in need in Contra Costa County. And they send people in vans around to different food service places and pick up their extra food that was just going to be tossed. And they connect the dots with various nonprofit organizations that are various shelters and different nonprofits in the county that are doing their best to feed the hungry. I mean, it's this amazing, and this one little lady here in Walnut Creek who, by her own account is a pretty, well-to-do, kind of in her circles are mostly, fairly well-to-do. Yet she wanted to do things different and help people see things in a different way as she began to see them. And it built this incredible change of culture. And I love the way they articulate their vision. To build on the generous nature of Americans. It starts on. Is that just like a sucker punch? I mean, it's like my first reaction is that, are we that generous? Well, I want to be generous. It's kind of this inviting thing. It's like, hey, I think you are generous, you Americans. And so I'm going to assume that you have some generosity in your hearts. And I just love the appeal there. So that a consciousness is born wherein it becomes natural for all to help one another. I just love this. To me, this is this amazing, prayer that is so similar to what Jesus is saying in calling down heaven's culture into ours so that what is natural in heaven but can be very unnatural here does become the norm and the natural. To not compete with each other, but to cooperate. To not be happy or satisfied when my own self-interest is the priority. But only to be happy and content and satisfied when I know that others are taken care of. When that consciousness is widespread, there will be no more hunger, no more poverty. What a great vision. And I just love how this one little lady, this organization, they've got hundreds of people working 7 days a week and just doing all kinds of amazing work throughout the county. But she has turned the culture of the food organization, food service business in Contra Costa County upside down. I mean, she has totally changed it through her heart and vision. And feeling like God's calling in her life to make a difference. And to me, it's just this great example of, picking up a starfish. And it's like, okay, I don't know if I can feed the world. I mean, in the beginning, this was just, her and some friends. But I know we can feed, I know we can do something with the leftovers at that point. And then more people getting involved, more people supporting. And as it builds, a culture is changing. People are looking now, instead of factoring out those, that waste, is, whatever leftovers we have, we'll prepare and get ready for White Pony to come along and use that for good. And, and employees at restaurants hear about that, and there's an expectation, and now there's a change of culture. Don't you want to be like, doesn't that fire you up? Don't you want to be like the kid that sees living things, that are in their last moments and want to rush to the rescue? Don't you want to see things in a way that's going to feed the hungry in this original way? Those are the answers of the prayer that Jesus is calling us to join Him in praying. Is may your culture come, may your kingdom come, your rule, your style, your way of seeing things. But it starts with us having a change of perspective. But it's not like we can sit around and go, okay, I'm going to think differently. How did Paul say it? He said, let God transform you. And it's when we just open our hearts and our eyes and our minds up to how God wants us to see things that we can begin those changes. Jesus has way higher hopes for me and you than I ever would. Does that sound awful? Sorry, guys. My expectations can be in the basement compared to... Listen to these words of Jesus when it comes to how far and how many starfish he thinks we can throw. You are the light of the world. You guys. It's like a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You have no idea the kind of light that's in you that can change this world, that can have an amazing effect. Because with a lamp, you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And heaven's reign, heaven's rule, heaven's kingdom will spread through earth. But I love the way he puts this. He goes, this is on you. You, the way this works, the way God has this set up, his dream for our world, his dream world for earth, is that it would happen through you and me. It's my prayer was always messed up praying this prayer. I always imagined God just come down and take care of business. But that's not how he likes to do things. His way is much more thorough. It's much more grassroots. It's much more bottom up, not top to bottom enforcing. My prayer was always, okay, if God will just take care of it, then that's the only way it's going to happen. No. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that it will affect more and more people. And I think it just begs the question. We've all got starfish to pick up. And it all, just like any championship team, it comes together in the right culture because everybody is bought in. Everybody is doing their part. Everybody's involved. Everybody knows how they fit in and the difference they make. And those little things add up. Those little starfish add up. So I want to just take, I want to invite Keith and Michael to come back up and lead us in a couple more songs. And as we do that, I want to pray together the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to spend just a quick minute in silence and really reflecting on what is God calling you to do? Maybe what has he already called you to do that you need to really maybe focus on, make a priority, ramp up, step up in your life? Or maybe you feel like you've been sort of not really knowing. That just that beach of starfish has just looked so intimidating and there's no way you feel you can make a difference. But you can. Because you're going to have to. God is calling you and relying on you to be part of his team, his kingdom, building a new culture in this world. And when we get to that line, my prayer is going to be that God just shows each one of us what he wants us to see. And he just kind of puts his hand on our hearts to let us know how he is going to use us. So take a minute. Lord, we just invite you into our hearts, into our minds, into our vision. To see how you want us to be part of your dream world. What your dreams and visions are for this hurting, broken world. How you want to bring restoration and repair. And how we can be a part of that. In our homes, in our neighborhoods, at work. So many places in our community that are just, that are left untouched. Yet, that maybe it's going to be one of us to step into that place. So Lord, speak to us. Stand together. And why don't we say this prayer together and then we're going to sing it together. But pray with me. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come to the communion table when you feel led. Let's worship together. Thank you.